passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back, and we have reached the second half of the show. Always great to talk to one of the most knowledgeable people in the industry, Bruce Feldman, who writes for The Athletic and, of course, is part of the Fox college football team. And, Bruce, I want to say hello and thank you for joining us, but I have to ask you about this story that continues to have new twists today, more news from multiple media outlets about Jim Harbaugh and where that situation stands. Thank you, and tell us what you know and what it really means.
I mean, Paul, it's the latest investigation with the NCAA that Jim Harbaugh and his Michigan program is in the middle of. Obviously, this blew up mid last week, first with the Yahoo report on, I believe it was Wednesday. It feels like a long time now, where it involved basically advanced scouting. We all know that signal stealing is something that goes on as part of the gamesmanship in college football. A lot of teams do it, but that's in game. What this is alleged to be going on was a staffer Jim Harbaugh had on staff who has since been suspended. That is, his name is Connor Stallions. He's a Naval Academy grad who had left the Marine Corps a year ago and has been working at Michigan. He's somebody that our sources told us prided himself in being very adept at decoding other team signals. Now, if he was doing it while being on the sideline, that'd be one thing. But what's been reported, and as well as The Athletic has confirmed as well from several Big Ten schools, that he had been buying tickets to go to these games. And that is definitely against the NCAA rules. And this all looks very bad, I think, for Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, because even if Jim Harbaugh issued a statement the other day, Paul, that's denying knowledge, but of anything. And even if it can't be proven that, that Harbaugh had knowledge beforehand, the way the rules are set up now with the NCAA, that's not an excuse. And the question is, how quickly can the NCAA, I don't want to say get out in front of this, but get on top of this? Because as you well know, Michigan is a team that's sitting there in the top four, that's steamrolling everybody they played. I mean, what's going to be if this has been going on? You're talking about a tainted, balance of competition here. And it looks really bad. The Big Ten at this point is really twisted in the middle of this, because I'm not sure how much direct knowledge they have, but the NCAA, for them to be as public as they've been, and now for schools to acknowledge that this has been going on, it looks really bad for Michigan. There's no way around that.
Listen, we're about to get into the CFP part of the schedule with the reveal and the march toward the playoffs. Bruce, I'll spare you the predictable and prosaic shots at the NCAA's competence, because you alluded to them being a little bit more proactive in this case. But is it possible anything could happen that would influence or affect this year's playoff?
I do think it's possible, Paul. We'd reported on Big Noon on Saturday from talking to sources around the college football world. They definitely took note that the NCAA had been a lot more proactive on the front end, pushing back. And quite honestly, if you look back at some of the comments that the NCAA has made as it relates to Jim Harbaugh in the previous investigation, when it was that line, it's not just a hamburger, you remember that, where it was very unlike the NCAA to kind of clap back at somebody in their crosshairs. And I've had more than one person go, maybe there was more to it that they were on top of this. Again, I mean, competitive balance, and in this case, it's a really messy situation that right now is going on, because as you said, this is the elephant in the room, and this is different than, you know, there was rules violations during the COVID dead period. And it's not to diminish any of the other stuff that goes on with this, but this goes right into the heart of the competitive balance of the games. And this has been a rule that's been in place for about 30 years. It used to go on back in the day before that, but it, you know, technology wasn't what technology is now. So it's just much more, it's a much more loaded situation.
And Bruce, this would be a better question for someone from the NCAA, but knowing how slow and reluctant they are to move down the highway, I'm just trying to guess and help me fill in the blanks what they could possibly do, because the window is fairly short here in relation to the college football playoff.
It is. And the other thing that's standing here, you know, to be, you know, for all context, again, Jim Harbaugh self-sanctioned with Michigan 3 games at the start of the season. The NCAA is not done with him on that front. You know, my gut feeling is Jim Harbaugh has danced with a few NFL teams the previous 2 years. He had a lot of success in the NFL as a head coach. It would not be a stretch to think this team that he has, which is loaded with senior leadership and guys who came back to make a run at a national title, and they look like they are a legit contender to really do that this year, that Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, could they win a national title? Jim Harbaugh bolts to an NFL team, you know, days later. And then what is the, you know, is the NCAA going to come down on this retroactively and go, okay, the whole season when you're a national championship team or a team that played in the playoff, because if they do, that means somebody else, the team that's number 5, doesn't get that opportunity. You know, it's a nightmare scenario, I think, honestly, for the NCAA, especially for the Big Ten. I mean, you know, obviously Ohio State once won a national title, but you're sitting here with, if you're the Big Ten going, you know, what happens if you have a Michigan team that knocks out Ohio State again, or, you know, and then all of a sudden we find out weeks later that the NCAA can drop the hammer on this. I mean, again, it seems like they have digital proof of this from a lot of universities of what happened. And I'm sure there's some, my understanding is there's some video evidence of this as well. So the question is going to be, okay, what will the NCAA do about it? I suspect they're going to have to move way faster. I mean, we just had this story about Kansas basketball. I felt like it was like a half dozen years before they finally reached the end of the road. They can't work this slow. I suspect they're going to have to move faster than ever. But again, you know, look, we know Michigan and Jim Harbaugh has, you know, he has Tom Mars, who's one of the best lawyers who's battled the NCAA on several fronts. You know, I'm very curious to see how this is going to start to unfold.
Yeah, no, Tom Mars, well known, and I mean, this is, I mean, I think for in candor, when I heard this Friday, I'm thinking to myself, how in the world can the NCAA do anything? But listening to you, Bruce, it brings a completely different element to it. And for those who don't know, Tom Mars, is he representing? Is he personally representing Harbaugh? Is that correct, Bruce?
He has represented Jim Harbaugh in the past. I can't say for certain that he's representing Jim Harbaugh as it would relate to this.
Yeah, for those who don't know, I mean, Tom has been around a long time. He represented Houston Nutt. He's been very
successful with the NCAA. Yes. So,
well, there's so much else to talk about, but it doesn't seem like anything is quite to the level of the possibility of the what could be the number one team in the country next week derailed. Do you think they will be number one, Bruce, in the first ranking?
I don't, because they haven't really played anybody yet, Paul. Let's be honest. I mean, they've mauled a bunch of really mediocre teams. Now, they've been dominant. This has not been a case of somebody, you know, like they're skating. Like last week, we saw Washington have their hands full with a really bad Arizona State team and needed a pick six to flip the game over, and that was at home. Michigan has hammered everybody. Now, it doesn't take much to be cynical to go, okay, they're hammering everybody because they have everybody's answers to the test before they take it. And, you know, fair or unfair, that's what you're going to be getting if you're on the Michigan side of this now that all of this is, well, some of this, I should say, is starting to come to light. And so to that end, you know, Paul, and I know that the CFP folks are going to, you know, talk about the professionalism of all the people involved. I don't know how they get into that process, some of those people, without having that idea in the backs of their minds, or maybe even the front of their minds. You know, you probably are going to have people look at Michigan much differently because of this. So my guess is, unless Georgia stumbles, Georgia will still be number one. You know, if Georgia does stumble, then I think Michigan would be there. But you know, you just don't know how people are going to react to this story, because again, you know, from the Yahoo story on Wednesday, it has moved pretty fast.
Well, I don't know about you, Bruce, but I can't wait to hear Bill Hancock try to answer that question.
Yeah, I'm guessing we're not going to get any clarity from Bill on that, but just a hunch.
Great stuff. Bruce Feldman joining us from The Athletic and Fox News. Fox, excuse me, the Big Noon kickoff on Fox. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Paul.
Tucker Carlson joining us from The Athletic. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Of Jalen and the guys tonight on Read and React. Mark is in Tennessee, and you are next up. Hey, Mark.
Hey, I'm in Tennessee by default. I moved here about a month ago to Spring Hill from Huntsville. And a big Alabama fan. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I have to say I'm disappointed. You know, when you win a big game like this, Alabama, I guess it's 16 out of 17. I watched Josh Heupel, and, you know, all I can say is that, you know, the year before, Alabama had 170 penalty yards against them. Coach Saban was asked at that press conference after the loss about some bad calls, and he said, well, I need to watch the game film because, you know, I'm sure the official saw something. You know, just a great coach, Saban, knowing not what to say, what not to say. And I just thought that Heupel, and don't take this the wrong way, Paul, I know you're a graduate of Tennessee, but
anyway, I think what he was trying to ask before we had to let go because of something he said, and I don't think he meant anything. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter whether he meant anything by it or not. But Heupel paused for a long time, and my guess is what Heupel was trying to do was to avoid criticizing the officials, even though the pause was deadlier than anything he could or would have said. Dan is in Cleveland. Dan, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. This Michigan thing is going to snowball out of control. If you think about it, we have someone who has military intelligence training in gathering intel and has put it together with multiple individuals. And think about this information. For it to be useful for Michigan, there'd have to be multiple people looking for this sign. It can't be one guy in the press box saying, hey, there's the square we're looking for. Or it can't be somebody on the sideline saying, hey, that's the emblem we're looking for. This is going to be all the coaching staff involved. Probably players know about this. It's been going on 3 years.
Well, but Dan, hold on a second. There's a lot of layers that go on a coaching staff. And I don't want to give Jim Harbaugh any credit if I don't have to. But I think it's entirely possible that, assuming that he's aware of it, he's also going to have some plausible deniability where this goes to a group of analysts who break down the game and make recommendations. I can't believe any coach would risk getting involved in something like this without some layers between them and the actual crime.
And I understand that, but for it to be of any benefit to Michigan, this has got to be information that otherwise why bother attempting something like this? It has to be something that can be readily brought to other coaches' attention.
Well, sure,
and
but,
you know what?
But,
if I'm Purdue,
yeah,
go ahead.
But one thing that is true is that coaches are always looking. They're actively trying to steal signs. That's part of sports. You know that. It's just to the degree
sure.
that they go to, and this is clearly egregious behavior.
Egregious.
But there's more. I've had a lot of friends tell me case closed. It's over. These things are never over when you're dealing with the dysfunctionality of the NCAA.
I understand the injury, but you know what? The Big Ten, if I'm the coaching staff at Purdue, at Michigan, or at Ohio State, at Penn State, at Maryland, I mean, like, you know what? We're not playing them. If they've been doing this long.
I agree. I mean, you got a lot of great thoughts here, but it's not realistic. I have seen college administrators that you would normally think are impenetrable when it comes to integrity, stand by schools for the good of their league. And I'll be shocked if the Big Ten, with what's at stake, with all the battles that are going on, especially with the SEC and the television wars, are going to participate beyond cursory acknowledgement in any way, shape, or form. And there's also another side of this before everyone rushes to judgment, and that's the legal part of it. Jim Harbaugh has been represented by Tom Mars, who's highly respected and has caused the NCAA heartburn in recent years by representing a number of coaches as well as high-profile athletes. And the one thing the NCAA doesn't want right now is a $1 billion lawsuit about denying Michigan the right to compete for the national championship that, in their mind, was earned on the field.
Yeah, so when this comes out, and by the way, this is moving at breakneck pace.
It is.
So Michigan plays, they win the national title, and it comes out that this is beyond worst-case scenario, beyond anything ever imagined a program attempting, then what happens to the Big Ten? Then about the egg on their face and on the university and on all the programs.
There's only one precedent I can come up with, and it's not even related to this, but it's the Cam Newton case in 2010 when they had to determine his eligibility before the SEC championship game. Because they were the number one team in the country. And it was determined, and I don't think anyone is going to let this play out without some determination. And without knowing anything other than what you know, they've already suspended one guy. It's got to reach the level of whether Jim Harbaugh had understanding of it and knowledge of it. And that's not going to be the easiest thing to prove. I agree. I mean, this thing has changed just in the last two or three days, especially today. It's a terrible case. Do most people believe Michigan is guilty? Of course they do. It's not hard to come to that conclusion. But proving it to a point where the NCAA is willing to take them out of play, and I mean, we're opening up Pandora's box here from a legal standpoint. I'm all for it, by the way. This is not as easy as it looks. Mo is up next in New Orleans. Hello, Mo. Mo, you there?
Hey, Paul.
Hey,
Paul. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing really well.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call today. I'm a first-time caller. I just wanted to touch base with you on a couple of things. Number one, I don't take nothing away from Alabama. Although I will say I don't think that they're the team that everybody always expects them to be this year. But I was trying to also see what brought upon your decision to say that they would win over LSU when LSU has kind of turned things around over the last few games, especially the way that Jaden Daniels is playing, and our defense has improved tremendously here lately too.
Mo, the only thing I can explain to my answer yesterday about Alabama is youthful exuberance. I'm kidding, of course. I don't know. I was very impressed with Alabama. I think I felt very. And by the way, I still feel very confident that they're going to get to Atlanta. I'm going to sound like a lawyer now, but I didn't necessarily pick Alabama to beat LSU in what I said. But mm-hmm. LSU's road to the NCAA, road to the SEC championship game is still very difficult because of some of the losses that they've had. Although, assuming that they beat Alabama, they would be on a pretty good track to get there. So I can't really explain to you with any intelligence that I was doing anything more than reacting in the moment.
Okay, well, let me assure you,
I have enormous respect for Brian Kelly. And I know what he did last year, and he's certainly capable of doing it again.
Yeah, that's what I kind of wanted to say, too. I mean, I'm not one of those kind of obnoxious fans. There's a lot of those out there on both sides. But I will say last year they doubted LSU, and LSU went in there and got a W. And I still think, you know, I'm not going to say either. It could be either way to me, because I'm like this. Any team could win or lose at any given time. Regardless of the fact, somebody's going to come out of there with the win, whether it's us or whether it's Alabama. But I just didn't want it, you know, to kind of be displayed like, oh, we're so doomed. We don't have any kind of opportunity.
I'm glad you brought that up. And I know I'm sitting here criticizing myself, but I'm going to have to do it to answer your question. I have great faith in Brian Kelly. I think ultimately, though, that game in Tuscaloosa is clearly going to favor Alabama. That's the most important part of it. And back to what we were talking about a minute ago. Thank you, Mo. I've had some friends tell me, you know, keep your eye on the Big Ten in terms of trying to work with the NCAA for a speedy resolution here. Now, they are going to have to figure it out if it's as bad as everyone says. And I just cannot believe that they're going to disqualify Michigan from the college football playoff. I don't care if they have a video of Jim Harbaugh signing the deal. It is just not conceivable for me to believe that. But it's certainly a new element to the season. When the story broke a week ago, it seemed a little hard to wrap your arms around. It's not as difficult today. We'll take a short break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Bill is from Arkansas is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Hi there.
This Paul? Bill Reeves. Glad to get on. Takes a long time to get on. I just want to talk about Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
And one thing I love about Arkansas is everybody loves Pittman. I know things aren't going good, but we're not the kind of state that gets down and tries to get mad. But the one thing I am concerned with is just, I mean, this year, is that on our offense, which was void, is that for some reason, Enos did not want KJ to get hurt. Well, if you've got a person who's the fastest person at a 100-yard dash, you don't say, hey, Job, we don't want you to pull a muscle. That's kind of what they did with him. They put him in a box, wouldn't allow him to play football. That's my point.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for your patience. You be well. George is in Missouri. Hello, George.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Great.
Yeah, Paul, I just wanted to call and talk to you about Mizzou. I actually called a couple weeks ago after our win against Memphis. Just asked you kind of your thoughts, if you thought the Tigers could make a little bit of noise in the East. And you said, and I don't blame you for saying it at the time, but just didn't really know enough about the Tigers. I just thought maybe now, you know, sitting at 7-1, have you seen enough to make you think that we can be competitive against Georgia here in 2 weeks?
I do. And part of that was the fact that the schedule was lukewarm at the beginning, as you know. I think Missouri has played enough now to prove to everyone that they are one of the better. They're in the upper tier of the SEC right now, and I'm not. They still have Tennessee. They still have Florida. I mean, they have some really tough games left. It seems like both Georgia and Missouri have the brunt of the schedule remaining, but I think the Georgia game is going to be one of the games of the year in the SEC.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And, you know, it's looking like that's going to be, depending on what happens this week, it'll be one of the deciding games here in the East. And also, just real quick, what are your thoughts about Luther Burden? And you think, is he kind of the front runner for the Biletnikoff this year, or does he have, you know, a shot at winning that maybe?
Well, I mean, there's still Marvin Harrison Jr. to deal with, but I would say he's in the running. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, I appreciate the time, Paul.
Thank you very much. No, I mean, the fact that, Burden has just been phenomenal. And, you know, give Coach Strink credit. He's Now, there was a moment there in that Kansas State game that it all looked lost. John is in Missouri. You're on the air. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
Very well.
Paul, I was going to call earlier, and after I heard the young man, Mr. Feldman, talk about Michigan, I called last week and talked about the Kansas basketball situation, but I decided to talk about my original thought that, you know, one of the great Alabama quarterbacks of all time, probably the greatest, was Mr. Namath. And I don't know the last time that you've had Joe Willie on the show, but I think it's about time you bring Joe Willie back, and probably to the Auburn game, and sit down and talk business, and talk about the past, and talk about his relationship with Coach Bryant, and everything that went on back then, and, you know, give him his 7 to 10 minutes during the pregame, and get people riled up, and just kind of talk about the old days, Paul, because as a kid growing up, there wasn't anyone that kids from the 60s looked up to and hung their hat on than Joe Namath. He was number one.
I would argue, John, after he left Alabama and went to the Jets, he was the most famous athlete in the world.
Yes.
Especially when Muhammad Ali left the sport of boxing because of his,
right.
His stand. And yeah, for all young kids of that era, which I was one, we all wanted to be Joe Namath for every imaginable reason, including the fact that he was a great quarterback.
Right. Well, I mean, Paul, you haven't answered my question. Have you reached out to Joe Willie?
We will do so. I haven't talked to Joe in a while, so I am long overdue. His number is
right here in my phone,
and I'll call him.
Well, Paul, but the thing is, too, we're all getting older, okay? And, I mean, Joe's not a young kid anymore.
Well, no,
and
of course
not.
Joe is probably, I don't know, he's probably 80 at least.
He's pushing 80, and he wants to talk over now.
I tell you what, if I make it to 80, I want to look just like Joe Namath. Hey, thanks, Sean, for the call. I want to be like, no, don't you want to be like Joe Namath for just a minute? I can't go there on the air. It's too risque. Chris is in Georgia. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
I just, like, it's funny to me how we live in Michigan's head rent-free. They have, like, a practice set up for us. It just seems like the SEC, Georgia, and everybody else just lives there rent-free.
Well, they always seem to be in the news for all the wrong reasons.
Well, the whole – I mean, if Harbaugh has to, like, spy on us and spy on people and everything else, he's just not going to win anyway, so.
Well, Chris, you may be right, but he's got a pretty outstanding team this year, like it or not. Elliot is in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. Is it just me, or is 55% of a vote the majority? Am I wrong?
50.1% is the majority.
Right. So here's the deal. In the NCAA back in 2013, 55% of colleges and conferences voted to get rid of the rule for the on-site scouting. But the NCAA requires a 62.5 majority to overturn a rule. They were trying to deregulate back in 2013. Why is the NCAA, every time the Big Ten gets a championship quality level team, they come in and they start imposing their rules? Let's line everybody else up. Get them all lined up, Paul, because they all need to line up for the same violation. Let's bring everybody in at all the big schools.
Well, Elliot, I think you make a point. I mean, when I heard this story, it seemed to me like this was piling on. The story has changed since then, but it's still a very difficult area to. It's still a very difficult thing to explain, and I'm.
But it.
I don't really. It doesn't matter to me what they do because I think there are elements of cheating going on across the board. It's just to me a matter of whether the NCAA is willing to do anything about it.
It's lives, though, Paul. It's Jim Tressel. What a great guy, and they destroyed his career. And here they go. Harbaugh could have gone down in history. He could have had a statue. He could have stayed.
Well, but,
now, what are
Elliot,
they
doing? I agree. All because what Jim Tressel went down for was ticky-tack.
Right. In hamburger tattoos.
But you have to remember 20 years ago, it wasn't that long ago, but it was close to that. Players weren't making millions of dollars, and that's the hard part right now. There's so much gray area, but the integrity of what happens on the field does matter. But I just don't have enough faith in the NCAA, and I don't think Charlie Baker or any of his people have the guts to take on the University of Michigan. I can guarantee right now Harbaugh and the university have already lined up a team of attorneys, and that's the last thing the NCAA wants. That's the whole reason why we're going through this NIL conversation in D.C. is that they can't afford another lawsuit. Another lawsuit might bring this paper organization down to its knees. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we appreciate all of you being here. Trey is in Fort Worth. Hello, Trey.
Hello, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, Trey. I sure can.
Okay. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm Corky's son.
Are you really? That's fantastic.
Grandson.
Well, Corky's one of my favorite callers.
So today, I'm talking about, like, do you think Colorado will, like, be able to go to a bowl game? This season?
Trey, they are right on the bubble. By my projection, I think they'll get in. I think they can get to 6 wins. Yes, the answer is yes.
Oh, and my other question is, do you think Washington will play good against Kentucky because I like Washington? And they, my grandpa's that son-in-law said that we are not that good because we barely won against Arizona State.
I think that was just an off day. I think Washington is very good. So listen, Trey, how old are you?
11.
Well, mm-hmm. You have made a fantastic first call here, and you give Corky my best, and thanks so much for calling. I hope to talk to you again very soon. Let's check in next with Mike in Georgia. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how cool is that to have an 11-year-old call in and chat a little bit?
I thought it was great.
Just a football player, but that is fantastic. Hey, couple things. I was listening to the attorney's call about Texas A&M and the, you know, and the laws and Texas laws and the contract laws and Jimbo Fisher's situation. And, I think it's great that he did, but what I think is probably missing in that is that, if Texas A&M doesn't honor that deal, if they decide to make a change and don't honor that deal, then it would seem to me they'll be challenged with others that they want to bring in to coach if they're not sincere about kind of what they wrote. But that's just an aside.
The one thing that I failed to mention in not to be a Texas lawyer here, but
yeah.
The law was put into place because Mike Leach was fired for cause. He sued to get his money, and then the court ruled. Jimbo Fisher would not lose his job for cause. He would simply, be dismissed. I'm giving you a theory, and then the
sure.
University would then owe him the remainder of the contract.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well. And my second thing is, I'm a Georgia grad, so I'm a Georgia fan, obviously, and played at Georgia. And I was watching the ball game, and towards the end of the game, that was when I told your gentleman on the phone for my call, was Vanderbilt scored. It was 30-20. There was 2+ minutes left. Vanderbilt had, I think, all 3 timeouts left. And as opposed to kicking an onside kick and trying to, get something going and win the game. They just kicked it off, and of course Georgia, you know, ran the clock out. It just seemed like they just threw the towel in, and no one's really brought that up. I haven't heard anything from the coach. I mean, but if I was playing Vanderbilt, and that kind of happened, and we just kind of said, well, you know, it's over. We feel good. We're 30-20, you know, against the number one team in the country. It just didn't seem right to me, and I just wanted to see what your feedback might be on that.
I think that's a really astute observation. I think at some point you're just trying to build anything you can, and if you're Clark Lee, you have a story to tell, and I think that's all you have, but I think you're afraid to change the narrative by letting the game get out of hand. Thank you very, very much for the call.
Hello,
cheerleader
Paul.
Is up next.
Hey, Paul, I'm sorry I missed you on Friday, but I watched you.
Thank you.
That was a great, great program. Listen, Nick Saban spoke at the Monday Morning Quarterback Club here in Birmingham today. It's all men, no women there, so what? But one of the guys told me that he said, you know, this team this year is killing me. I thought that was pretty funny.
It is funny. Well, by the way, I spoke to her a couple of years ago. I swear I saw a woman in that crowd.
Well, now there was, there might have been, well, anyway, I won't go there with that, but I think, anyway, there's somebody there taking up the tickets to get in or whatnot, and that's usually a female. That might have been her. But that club, you know, raises the money for the Children's
Yeah,
hospital.
That's one of the most important and influential clubs in the country, and I think it was 2 years
Absolutely.
Ago. I was there, and I joked with them. I said, when I first started covering college football, you guys wouldn't even let me in here to cover the speeches, and now you've invited me to be the guest speaker.
Yeah, and you know, each one of the members has to raise a certain amount of money each year. That's just a given. And I don't know. I know that they bought a helicopter.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.